All right, we're going to continue in our series that we have been in the book of James. If you turn with me to James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26 is our text today. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. What we're going to talk about today is a faith that is alive. Dead faith accomplishes absolutely nothing. So, we're going to talk about what James is talking about in this passage, a faith that is alive. So, beginning to read in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Feed us today, Lord, from your word. We welcome your spirit to enlighten us, to open us up to the truths from your word that you want us to glean today. Father, put a watch on my mouth as I bring this message, that I would only speak the words you ordained this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a preacher once said, "Brethren, whatever the Lord tells me to do in this blessed book, that I am going to do. If I see in it that I must jump through a stone wall, I'm going to jump at it. Going through it belongs to God. Jumping at it belongs to me." Doing something of that nature demands a living faith that responds in obedience to God's will. James talks about a living faith that changes lives, a faith that causes believers to do things they otherwise would not do. Let me talk about that a minute. When I was growing up, I was told many times over by my father that I would never amount to anything. Those, my friends, are word curses. But I was told that many times. So I rose to that. But see, then I got saved at 25 years old. And I dug into the Word of God to see what the Word of God had to say. I found Philippians 4:13, and I read it over and over because it said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
That's right.
And see, that's what my Father in heaven said. Before I was saved, I did some things, but I had no vision for my life. I didn't have any goals because I didn't believe I could do anything. Because, see, that's what was prophesied over me. Does somebody understand what I'm saying? God, when you get faith in Him in your life, turns you into a force that can do things that you would never be able to do without Him. You see, I would have never had the courage to leave the security of a job and just launch into business. And I did that 5 months after I got born again. I would have never had the courage to do that because, see, I didn't believe that I could do anything but fail. I then also would have never had the courage, after working day and night for 16 years building that business up, I would have never had the courage, ever, to walk away from that and just trust something. But God said, walk away from it and trust me. I closed it up and walked away from it. From a business I had spent 16 years building. Built it to the place where I was booked at least 2 weeks in advance most of the time. And just closed it up. Why? Because God spoke right in here to do that. And see, when He appoints, He anoints. See, I'm talking about faith here that builds in us. I would have never had the faith in anything or anybody to do these things before. But faith in Christ changes our lives.
Amen.
And He'll lead us to places and into things that there's no way we would have ever been before. Ever. Three and a half years in a church in Comanche, where I pastored, I would have never had the courage, after being there and having some successful ministry there for 3.5 years. The church had been through a church split, and in 3.5 years, the attending people had tripled. I would say that's fairly successful ministry. And God spoke again and said, no, now resign. I want you to plant a church in Fulton. And I was like, okay, Jesus, you remember they killed you in your hometown, right? just so we're on the same page. You haven't forgotten what they did to you in your hometown. But here we are. April 5th, it'll be 22 years ago, we had our first church service. It's been 22 years. My point is this, guys. When God calls us out of darkness and into light, He calls us to walk in faith. And faith includes action. A faith that is alive includes action. In other words, when God calls, we step out. We see it throughout the Word of God. Jesus said, come. When He was walking on the water, Jesus said, come. Nobody else bailed out of the boat and jumped down out of the boat out of the water and walked with Jesus for a few steps. Walked on the water. Far as I know, Peter's the only one that's ever walked on the water besides Jesus. Oh, and there was a voice there. Oh, look at Jesus. He thinks he can do it. Wait a minute. He's doing it. He's doing it. And then he sunk. Oh, I knew he wouldn't be able to do it. Well, Peter was the only one that got out of the boat. Right. And he got out because Jesus said, come. Because he had said, hey, if it's really you, Jesus, let me come on out there with you. Listen, that's a little bit of faith. Right. And Jesus said, come, and he bailed out. See, God calls us in a manner of speaking in this new life that he's called us into. He calls us to bail out of the boat different instances, an astronomical amount of different instances. But in a sense, he's called us all to bail out of the boat and trust him. So, as I was preparing this message, I was also thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had their lives on the line. Nebuchadnezzar was nobody to mess with. He was crazy. And he'd kill you at the drop of a hat. And when he told people to worship what he set up, they better do it or they were going to die. Don't think for a minute that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't realize that that was real. But their faith is in someone else. Their faith was in God. And when he told them that if this was their last chance, and if they didn't worship the image that he had set up, that they were going to heat up that furnace to 7 times hotter than it had ever been, and they were going to cook it. And it didn't faze them. Why? Because they had faith in God. They said, our God is a God that's the kind of person that can deliver us from your flames. But listen to what they went on to say. But know this, O king, even if he doesn't deliver us, we will not bow to your image. Even if he doesn't. Well, if you know the word, you know the rest of the story. He delivered them all right. The furnace was so hot that the ones that opened the door and threw them in were vaporized. And they fell headfirst into the fire and got their feet under them and stood up and was walking around with Jesus in the flames. And when they came back out, there not even a hair on their body was singed. Now that's my God. And he's the same God that protected me in Africa when I got shot at it point blank. He's the same God. He's the same God that brought that very bullet right back into the person's chest that tried to shoot me. That God. That's the one that he's called us to have faith in. You see, living faith is not an empty claim. A living faith is not just a positive profession. So many people think, especially people that don't know the Lord, they think when we speak in faith that we're just all about positive thinking and positive confession. Now, while we are, it's not that that we have our hope in. It's Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, that we have our hope in. For many people, unfortunately, faith is only a word. Note in verse 14 of our text that James does not imply that a man can have faith with no works. Instead, James raises a rhetorical question. What is the profit if a person says he has faith but has no works? James makes clear that it isn't even a possibility. The man pictured is one who talks of faith, talks of things of a spiritual nature, but there is no evidence of change. If you've been around here for a while, you have heard me say periodically, if you say you're a believer, but there has never been any change in your life, then there is a problem with your confession. Because God will accept us no matter how we are or where we are at when we truly turn to Him. He'll accept us. But He loves us way too much to leave us that way. So from the moment we truly come to Christ, He begins the process of bringing changes in our lives. Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan is a book about a community and its spiritual pilgrimage. Bunyan uses various characters who are familiar in any community, and he identifies them by giving them names that suit their personalities. Wouldn't it be interesting if we did that? One character is named Talkative. Are you a talker? I'm a talker. So check this out. Of him, Bunyan says, religion has no place in his heart or house or conduct. Bunyan says, all he has lies in his tongue, and his religion is to make a noise therewith. There are people that make a lot of noise, but it doesn't come from a relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from a faith in Him. Unfortunately, there are bogus people out there that portray themselves to be believers, and some of them actually are pastors, some are evangelists, but ultimately, they're not real. It's why we were warned in the Word of God about false prophets. And we need to be aware. All right? That reminds me also of Bunyan's words, remind me of the fact that the Word tells us if we are not operating in love, then we are as a clanking cymbal. We're making a lot of noise, but it's the noise of a clanking cymbal. It makes me think of those things when we're thinking along these lines. So we don't want to be a person that's just making noise. We want to stand up and speak up. I've been encouraging for a long time, encouraging you all to stand up and speak up for God. Stand up and speak up for what's right. Haven't I? Been around here for a while. You know I'm telling the truth. And I stand by that today. We as believers need to learn to stand up and speak up. But make sure you're truly in a relationship with Jesus Christ and speak with the wisdom of God. Don't just speak to hear yourself speaking. Speak with the wisdom of God, and that will draw people to Christ and bring them to a place where they are saved. James illustrates his own case in pointing to the tradition of almsgiving. In our text, it's verses 15 and 16. One was expected to give to the poor in those days. Simply giving lip service to the poor left them just as destitute. So it is true today. If we see a brother starving, do his hunger pains go away on well wishes? Do nice remarks warm the body and shield from the bitter winds? Likewise, faith must be accompanied by action. why we, as the part of the body of Christ, it's why we very much support our food pantry here in Fulton. It's well run. I'm thankful for the people that run it. People can go there and get food. People in Thompson and people from Fulton. That's who our food pantry services. We were very involved in the new building being built. Thank God for the businesses that donated. Quality Ready Mix donated all the concrete. Okay, that's huge. And that, it was the one out of Morrison, owned by Randy Holsinger, was the one that donated all of the concrete. Altogether, our church donated, if I remember right, right at $20,000 to building that new building, which has been a huge blessing for them. They had been kicked around all over from place to place. People donating space for them for years. And now, so anyway, through this process, we were able to get that building erected and equipped with absolutely no debt. And we continue to support the pantry. Actually, they give away at Christmas time, at Thanksgiving and Christmas time, everybody that goes to the food pantry gets a ham and a turkey. And our church paid for all of them this past, it was $4,000. Our church paid for them. See, I want you to know, otherwise, you know, if you're fairly new to the church, you don't realize what's going on behind the scenes. I want you to know when you give to this church what you're giving into. Okay? We do our part in that way of feeding the hungry, and also missions, Cambodia. We've been involved in Cambodia for a long time. $1,500 a month goes to Cambodia to feed orphans and widows and care for them. And we've been doing that for years. Okay? Why? Well, we just read it. It's what God's called us to do. Right? 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." There it is. Works are proof of a living faith. Works are proof of a living faith. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. And it reads, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Now, there's a balance in that. We are not to be like the Pharisees that do our good deeds intentionally in front of men to get an attaboy, to get the back slapped, right? That's not why we do it. We do it because of our love for Christ and because of the call that He has on our lives. Okay? We always got to keep that in check. We always got to keep it in balance. And then, see, Jesus said they will know you by your love. He said we would know them by their fruit or by their deeds. But he said, they will know us by our love. So when they see that we are truly loving people, and that does not mean, let me explain something, because words are all twisted in the culture we're living in today, and it's intentional. It is not unloving to disagree with godless policies. It is not unloving to oppose policy that flies in the face of God. Don't let them make you believe that. It is not unloving to tell someone that you don't agree with same-sex relationships because God don't agree with them. And that community has decided that they would call us haters. No, disagreeing is not hatred. They don't want to see me hating on them. I can be an ugly person when I get to hating on somebody. Am I alone? Can't we all kind of, I mean, at different levels, I understand. I'm just saying, I'm capable of being pretty ugly. It's who I was before I was saved. You know? And I'm getting better. I'm getting better, but I haven't arrived yet. I'm just being honest. I'm a work in progress, aren't you?
Yes.
And we might as well be honest about it. I can be going along pretty good, but if somebody pushes the right buttons in the right sequence, I'm still capable of copping a pretty bad attitude. So, let them see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Next scripture, very long one, Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. Still looking at the fact that works are proof of a living faith. Occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked, Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, and pouring on oil and wine, then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Let's pick this apart just a little bit. Notice that the first one that came was a priest, a leader in God's kingdom, a priest. And rather than get involved, he decided he would walk by on the other side of the road because he didn't want to get involved. He didn't want to deal with the mess. Didn't want to have his life interrupted. A priest. Okay? So then the next one that comes by was a Levite. So he's from the tribe of Levi, and the Levites were the ones in charge of the worship in the tabernacle. Pretty big deal. We're talking upper echelon leadership in the kingdom of God on this earth. A Levite. And he passed by him on the other side. What you see is both of these people, the priest and the Levite, they were at the top of their game in the physical, but they didn't have love. How can you see a person that has been beat to a bloody pulp and robbed, probably laying there either knocked out or maybe groaning, but still laying there, obviously. How could you walk by on the other side if you have any love in you at all and not do what you could do to help that person? And these were leaders. Okay? So who's the third one that comes by? The third one that comes by is a Samaritan. What's the significance of a Samaritan? Okay? A Samaritan was looked on by Jews as half-breeds. Okay? And they were very much despised by the Jews because they weren't purebloods. Okay? So the Samaritan was despised by the Jews, but this Samaritan had compassion on the person that was laying on the road. And instead of walking by on the other side, exercised love. Did what he could there, then loaded this guy on his donkey and took him to an inn, took care of him, got him checked into the inn, took care of him the best he could, bandaged his wounds, and then went a step further, pulled out 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of this man for me until I come back through. And at that time, if I owe you any extra, I will settle up with you." A Samaritan. The one the Jews looked down on was the one that truly exercised love. Sobering, isn't it? Sobering. And that person exercised faith in God. Next one, 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12. 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12. Beginning to read in verse 11. "Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Guys, we don't even realize the people that are watching us. We don't. We don't realize. You know what? I've talked about before. One of the reasons when I was 16 years old and was given a choice, I walked away from the church was because I had been watching some people. And I got turned off big time. If you've been around here for a while, you know, I've said this before. Okay? Now, I own the fact that my heart wasn't right either. I own that. But I also was watching some people in the church I was in. And I was extremely turned off. And then there were other things over the years leading up to the point where I was 25 years old and rock bottom and met the real Jesus. But there were different things that transpired. What it boils down to is the fruit in people's lives that, and some of them were leaders, they were elders in the church. They were deacons in the church. And I got absolutely turned off. So we're called, it says here, to live a life that, although people accuse us of doing wrong, they may see our good deeds and glorify God. Righteous people are being spoken about as doing wrong. I mentioned a bunch of them earlier in the message. The gay community. Christians are haters. Now, here's something we need to be very, very, as we walk out our faith, that we need to be very careful of. We need to not only shout out about what we're against. Let me explain. We need to shout out who we're for. And that voice actually needs to be louder than the voice that says what we're against. You guys agree with me on that? That's loving. That's loving. Proclaiming Jesus. Because he's the one. He's the only one that can save any of us. He's the only one that did save any of us. So let's be careful when we are taking a stand for what is right and calling what God calls wrong, wrong. Standing for God, okay? But let's make sure our voice is loud in proclaiming Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the only hope for us individually and the only hope for us as a nation. So faith is not just a religious belief. The Bible is clear that if you have not come to God through Christ, you have not to come to God at all. Jesus is the only way. Unfortunately, there are quite a few denominations now that have decided they don't agree with that. And they have crossed into heresy. Because for any church or denomination that begins to teach that Jesus is only one of the ways to heaven, they have just crossed into heresy, and the judgment of God will come on that organization.
That's right.
Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Gospel of John 14, verse 6. And we're called to have faith in that fact. To have faith in that fact, and our response to that faith is the way we live our lives, our deeds, our works, whatever translation you're reading. Knowing about God will get you nowhere. James makes that abundantly clear. He points out that even the devil believes in God, and surely he's not going to heaven. John Calvin said, "Knowledge about God can no more connect man with God than sight of the sun carry you into the heavens." It's a quote from John Calvin. People may be advocates of great doctrine, but their doctrine is meaningless until they come to a living faith in Jesus. We can do all kinds of things in the name of God, and a lot of things are done in the name of God. But the bottom line is, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Because it's the only way we will get to heaven. And to believe that is an alive faith. And it's not just responding to an altar call, praying a prayer, get your card punched, and I'm good now for the rest of my life. That's not it. See, however you come to Christ, maybe in an altar call, maybe it's in your own home, sitting in front of the television, hearing a message and it hits you. People can get saved in almost limitless different situations. But the bottom line is, at the point where we humble ourselves and pray that prayer, that's the beginning and not an end. That's the beginning of a new life in Christ. And it should be walked out every single day of the rest of our life until our life is required of us. This faith surpasses word with deed, knowledge with relationship, and importance with obedience. James invites us to learn about living faith in verse 20 of our text. Those who put trust in words of faith and knowledge of faith alone are foolish. They are so puffed up with spiritual insight that any higher wisdom is shut off. But they can learn, maybe by looking at two Old Testament examples, Abraham and Rahab, quoted in our passage, in our text. Looking at those two, and there are many others. An authentic faith is one that works. Faith and works are not opposites. They are inseparable. What kind of faith is yours? Is it dead or is it alive? Look at the evidence. Evaluate yourself by James' principles and by answering this question. If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? There is only enough evidence if we possess a living faith. Verse 24 of our text is quite possibly one of the most, if not the most, controversial verses in the Bible. We all know one of the foundational principles of our faith is that we are saved by faith, by grace, through faith, right? We are saved by grace through faith, okay? But all of a sudden, then verse 24 pops up here and says, "You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone." That upsets a lot of people's apple cart. But it's true. You believe all God's word is true, right? I do. So when he says, you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone, he's just talking about what this whole passage was talking about, and that there's something wrong with our confession if we profess faith in Christ, but we have no good deeds. Listen, I'm a screw up. I've done so much stupid stuff in my life. But you know what? From the night I prayed and asked Jesus to come into my life and take over my life has been in a process of change. And although I'm not completely all better yet, I'm a lot better than I used to be. And that's the way it's supposed to be for every single one of us. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin, because I'm still a sinner saved by grace. But Lord, thank you that you're changing me. And although I'm not all better yet, I'm better now than I was a year ago. Amen. So let's practice our faith, because that's an alive faith. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Let's stand together. Is there anyone today that would say, today it hit me. Today it hit me. I realized I've been fooling myself. I'm not really saved. I've just been religious. Religion doesn't get it. Only relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you, if today's the day that you want to receive Christ, just come walk down this aisle. I'll give a couple moments only. Just come walk down this aisle. I'll pray with you. We're not going to do anything weird. But count on it that your life will begin to change from this moment forward if you make this decision. Is there anyone this morning? All right, let's pray together. Lord, I just speak blessing over your people. We have heard your word today. Lord, we have been challenged by this passage of Scripture. Thank you for your word, Lord. And Lord, throughout the days to come, I pray that you will make us mindful of this passage and that you will make us mindful of our deeds. What are we doing with the faith that we profess? Lord, direct us. Direct our steps. We humble ourselves in your presence. Walk with us, Lord, and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you.